Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
We're out walking today and talking about the campaign, so hope we can have your support in August and November. So very good.
That's Lynn Rogers. He's a Democrat running for the state Senate from the Wichita area. He was campaigning last July, but before he ran for this office, he served on the Wichita School Board for 16 years.
So any questions or issues or concerns or anything?
Yeah, my biggest concern is education and schools.
Education and schools. That's the biggest concern of a lot of voters this year, and of a lot of candidates, too. Across Kansas, roughly 50 current and former education workers, from teachers to superintendents to school board members, are running for the state legislature. And there are quite a few in Missouri as well. I'm Brian Ellison. Today on KCUR Central Standard, we look at what's driving teachers from the schoolhouse to the statehouse on both sides of the state line. Joy Kosten is one of those. She won the Republican primary this month for a House seat representing parts of Overland Park and Leawood. She has no Democratic opponent, so it looks like she's headed to Topeka in January. Joy, welcome.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So before we talk about politics, I want to talk about you. You're in higher ed. What do you do?
I teach for the University of Kansas in the Department of Communications Studies. I also teach at the Edwards campus for the Environmental Studies program and for the Continuing Education Department.
What drew you to education?
What drew me to education? I enjoyed graduate work and scholarship, so most of my early academic career was really focused on studying family communication and adolescent risk behavior and adolescent health. And so that was part of what drew me into higher education, was because that was a forum where I could actually do both, teach and do scholarship.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question that doesn't seem very fair. Are you a good educator? Are you a good teacher?
Yeah, I think I am. I think I'm a very good educator.
What makes you a good teacher?
Because I'm passionate about my topic. I enjoy learning more and more about my topic every year, being educated in the discipline and in the social sciences, but also learning about how it affects my students and how they begin to be even better scholars and teachers for themselves. At an institution like KU, where our mission is to train new scholars, I think we have to really be focused on how we get students to be excited about learning about their world. So, I think I'm a really good educator.
Was there a formative experience or a moment that you remember where you said, this is what I want to do. I want to teach.
It was really later in life. I didn't go back for my master's until I was 40 years old.
Wow.
So that was when I decided that I really wanted to, learn more about the idea of how families interacted with one another and how that either influenced good behavior or not so good behavior. So I really wanted to look at that family system and the outcomes that it produced. But I think at that point, I just was really looking for answers. So it was more about the scholarship. I had taught some in the Blue Valley School District, actually. I'd been a substitute teacher in Blue Valley and in the Shawnee Mission District in previous years. But I really wanted to go back and understand these relationships a little bit more and how they influenced behavior. So that's what encouraged me to go back.
Now, you teach in a university setting. I have heard that sometimes there's some politics in universities. Is that true?
I think there are politics in all organizations. I think human behavior is such that we're always looking for our best position and how we can win, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I think there are politics in all organizations, and certainly at a university.
Is that part of being at the university that you actually enjoy, or is that something that you kind of wish weren't part of it?
Well, you know, as a faculty member and now as a part-time faculty member, you don't really engage in a lot of the political aspects in terms of the higher administrative decisions that are being made, unless you choose to go on to become a department chair or a dean or a provost. Certainly, as you get into those higher positions, you're going to have political issues that you're trying to weigh one department's needs against another.
Mm-hmm.
But in the classroom, it's a little different. You have so much autonomy, you're able to really make some decisions that aren't so they aren't so swayed by what somebody else needs or wants from you. So I think that's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah. So given that you've had that kind of freedom in the classroom, you don't have to worry so much about winning people over to your side. Why would you want now to make the transition into politics?
Yeah. I've been married for 40 years.
Well, now that's a whole
other story. I have children.
Story.
I think in all life, you have to win people over. You have to really try to understand their perspective. You have to understand what's their motivation. Why are they doing what they're doing? So I don't think that this is any different than any other job or pursuit that I've had. I think that you always just have to be very aware of the other person. At least that's my perspective. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that this is any different. Might be a little more challenging.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think it is.
Do you think there are particular things in your experience as an educator that will serve you especially well once you get to the Capitol?
Well, I think there are many things. First of all, I think I understand how to tap resources. I understand how to investigate ideas. I'm good at researching, understanding critical, thinking critically about different issues and seeking out different opinions. So I think that will help. But I think I'm not like many other people who find their way to a new job where they're trying to figure out that this is maybe a little bit different landscape, but basically still requires the same human interaction skills that we all hope we possess.
Well, I want to talk more about those skills that you think will be called on. But first, let me bring Vicki Hyatt into the conversation. She's a Democrat running for the state Senate from Johnson County. Vicki, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
So while Joy worked in higher ed, you were a K-12 teacher, right?
Yes.
What did you teach?
I taught special education for what was called behavior disordered adolescents. So I worked mostly with 7 through 12.
And how long did you do that?
I did that for 30 years.
Wow. And then you were a lifer.
I was. And I know when I went through my training, they said you'd last about 3 years. So I kind of overcame that.
Wow. What kept you going for 30 years in education?
I just was fascinated with the needs of some of the special ed students, and especially those with behavior disorders. It was I always said I would have wanted a job that would not be the same thing every day, and I certainly found that. We had challenges every day, but the program that I worked with primarily through my career was what they called a self-contained program, and we had grades 7 through 12 and teachers who were set aside just to work with those students. So we had a lot of support in that setting, and we could see the growth of students, and mm-hmm. that growth was always the reward.
That was the reward. What were some of the challenges that it created for you?
Well, obviously the challenges would be just on a day-to-day basis, dealing with some of the behaviors and crises. Students would come to us in different levels of crisis. And also just when you have all of the students with behavior disorders together, they might not get along as well as some settings. So it was a great deal of teaching responsibility for their behavior, teaching cooperation amongst themselves, and teaching how to learn at their potential.
Now, I'm assuming that someone must have thought you were pretty good at it, or you wouldn't have kept being able to do it for 30 years. What do you think made you effective as a teacher, especially in such a unique and challenging role?
I think I have probably one of my greatest skills is that ability to listen. And I think that any time, especially if you're in a situation of a crisis, you really have to listen to what's going on. Certainly, students with behavior challenges mask some of the real issues with that overt behavior. So it was always a matter of kind of listening and finding out what was really going on. And I think, like Joy says, there's always a motivation or why behind of things that are happening. So,
do you feel like it was a political job?
It actually was. It, as much as I did negotiating and compromising with students on a day-to-day basis, I also worked with a lot of I oversaw the program for about 10 years. So I did a lot of negotiating and compromising with administrators mm-hmm. as we were, because the end goal was to mainstream students back to their home school. And so, we did a lot of political things going on with that.
And was that a part of the job that you enjoyed, that you thrived on, or was that just sort of the bitter pill you had to swallow to do the
job?
I
don't think it was a bitter pill, but it was a challenge, certainly. But, there's that was another part, I think, of a reward. when I could demonstrate to administrators who had asked that these students be removed from their setting because they were disruptive, when I got to go back and prove and show to them and indicate to them that they had made great gains. Yeah. And we oftentimes had administrators come back and say, wow, we can't believe this is the same student. So, yeah, that was actually, I liked the challenge and the rewards were great.
Now, having enjoyed and found rewarding all of these years in education, why on earth would you not want to use your retirement to relax and rest? Why would you now want to get involved in politics?
I kind of asked myself that, I think, a lot.
This is a good time to be asking. The election's in November.
Right. I couldn't sit back. I retired in 2012, and since that time I have watched some serious problems take place in Kansas. And I think the final straw for me was removing due process rights from teachers. And I thought we've got to have better voices in our legislature to speak up for the rights of teachers.
Around collective bargaining issues, around labor issues, is that what you mean?
The labor issues, but I mean, they actually removed the right for a teacher to have a hearing and be heard in terms of if there's an issue that comes up. So I think it's taken a lot of power away from teachers and certainly has put a fear element in so that I don't think I could have advocated for my students as much as I did had I not had some protection, you know, with the due process rights.
Do you think that the background that you developed as a teacher is particularly well suited for the committee meetings and the wheeling and dealing and the sausage making that is any legislature?
Well, I think I definitely have some skills that I can read people, understand, and know how to. I think I can pick up the negotiation issues. I'm guessing that my tolerance level for some of the manipulation may be lower than it is for students.
But you can't send your colleagues to detention if they're out of hand.
Yeah. No time out for them. Yeah. So there will definitely be challenges. But, you know, I tend to approach anything that we are all adults. We're all, you know, functional, intelligent adults, and we can come to some good agreements.
Well, of course, you mentioned that there's some policy issues around education and around teachers that drew you to this as well. And I see Joy nodding her head that's part of why she wanted to jump into this as well. Education is obviously a significant part of state government, not the only part. Do you find yourself as educators more interested in those education issues? Is that the main thing on the agenda as far as you're concerned, Joy?
You know, that wasn't originally what drew me to go over the filing office and file. It was mental health issues. Those were certainly more at the top of my radar screen. I'd watched systematically over the years how funding for higher education in particular had really hurt our universities, in particular my department. And so I had really been aware of that firsthand, but that wasn't my motivating factor. It was more about mental health and healthcare in general and the fact that I just saw the potential of our citizens being diminished by policies that were being enacted by the current legislature. So education was just one more piece of that puzzle that it made sense to me that another voice needed to be at the table.
What about mental health were you interested in? Is it a matter of funding or
absolutely.
Policy?
Absolutely. Funding is a huge issue. And, you know, our family has our own history with some mental health issues. And over the last 10 years, as I spoke to my own representatives about what was going on in mental health funding, and I worked closely with the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Topeka, our affiliate in Topeka. I saw the funding of mental health continue to decline and to decline. And so this last year, I think we see the manifestation of those poor policies as our mental health hospitals are literally and figuratively crumbling before our eyes. So I think that part of our infrastructure has just been neglected in ways that's really detrimental, not only to the person who has the mental health challenge, but also to the family who's supporting that mental person. Talk about economic impact. I think when you have a whole family that doesn't function well at work because they're struggling with a mental health issue, I think that's really compelling.
Yeah, Vicki, do you find that there are issues other than education related issues that also got you fired up and wanting to run for office?
Absolutely. The issue of the mental health, because of the students I worked with, that was oftentimes the diagnosis. And we would, over the years that as I taught, we would see services come and be available for our students, and then they would go away. And it ended up that the schools were providing most of the service for the mentally ill adolescents. So we do definitely need to keep funding up for that. But other services, because, I mean, it's education, but when you have students coming to you who haven't been fed and they aren't being able to get assistance because parents are out of work, we've had, you know, I worked with students who were living from cars, who were, you know, living with relatives and didn't have a place to call home. So going home and studying, it wasn't education encompasses so many other areas and issues that we need to address as a state government.
You know, the two of you represent different political parties. I assume there are some differences in the agendas that should you both find yourselves in Topeka, you will end up supporting. How much diversity of perspective do you think Kansas teachers really bring, or people involved in education in Kansas? Is there one set of issues that we could say educators care about, or is it going to range pretty widely?
Vicki? Boy,
good question.
Good question.
I don't think it's one set of issues. I mean, I think that educators, we understand that there's a large field of issues that we've all got to address, because the ultimate goal is to provide for the common good of our citizens, and that can be providing better education, it can be providing better services, certainly better roads. All of those things, I think, tie into making Kansas a better place to live.
Joy?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think we have teachers have a firsthand bird's eye view of how public policy truly affects children and families. And I talk about children from birth to higher education. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about the lives of individuals who are directly impacted by the decisions that are made by our legislatures. And I think that teachers are really kind of well positioned to watch how those policies impact their students. And I think that's why you might find that there is a pretty good range of issues that touch all of us who are in front of the classroom.
We're going to take a break. Joy Kostin there and Vicki Hyatt will still be here when we come back. We'll also jump the state line over to Missouri to talk with a retired teacher who's about to retire from the General Assembly as well. What do you think educators can or should bring to the State House? Join our conversation and call us at 816-235-2888. I'm Brian Ellison, KCUR Central Standard. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Republicans and Democrats, urban and rural, across the state of Kansas, as many as 50 current or former educators are seeking election to the state legislature this fall. Joy Kostin and Vicki Hyatt are two of those candidates, and they're here today on KCUR's Central Standard. But it's not just a Kansas thing. There's a bunch of educators running to represent their citizens in Jefferson City, or at least they're trying to do that. One of them's joining us now by phone, Representative Mike Lehr, who's a Republican from Chillicothe. Representative Lehr, Mike, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Brian. How are you? And you too, Joy and Vicki.
Good morning.
It's nice to have you here. So you are finishing up 8 years in the State House, your term limited out, but what did you do before that?
I was a classroom teacher for 38 years.
38 years. What did you teach?
I taught government and history.
And I understand you taught in Missouri, but also in some other places as well.
Yeah, South Dakota and Nebraska. I was on an Indian reservation in South Dakota for several years as football coach and teacher, and also began my career in my home state of Nebraska for 17 years.
And what was it like? Did you enjoy teaching?
Oh, I loved it. I'm really a lucky person. My wife tells me that all the time, because a lot of people don't ever find a job that they enjoy going to, and I've had two of them. and from teaching into the legislature, and now I guess I'm going to try to retire and get it right this time.
try retiring again. What did you like best about teaching?
It's the kids. It's totally the kids. They are the ones that heal you. I always heard, you know, you ought to go be an administrator. That's where the money is. But, you know, I could never see letting go of the good part of education just for the money, because if you were in it for the money, you'd go do something else.
Yeah.
I know that from listening to Joy and Vicki, Joy in the college, I'm not sure how much you'll see in the legislature that would mimic that, but the behavioral person probably will really be at home there.
Well, you know, that's you're only speaking from the Missouri side. I'm sure they're much better behaved in Kansas, Mike.
I'm sure they are.
So I guess that is my question. I mean, after this long and satisfying career in teaching, after this joy that working with children brought you, what on earth motivated you 8 years ago to run for office?
Well, it's a situation where over those four decades of teaching, I always talked about giving back, about being a good citizen. And, you know, I had something to give because I understood the system. I don't understand it as the same way now as I did then, but I did understand the system, and I was young enough to feel like I could go into it and do a good job at it. It's really logical for teachers to run for the legislatures because, you know, when they retire, they're 50, 60 years old, they're educated, they're civic-minded, and they're used to learning new things. And all those things are definite positives in the legislature.
Can you think of particular ways that your experience as an educator came into play during the years that you spent in the legislature, or particular moments where those skills you picked up as a teacher suddenly came into use?
One of the major ways is to actually have those experiences of spending that time in the classroom and trying to be able to communicate that to people who think they know education, but don't really know about where the rubber meets the road. You know, they don't understand the range of people that you deal with. They don't the range of issues, the inspiration that you have to do every day. They don't understand that. And we saw some attempts here in Missouri. I am a member of the majority of the Republican Party, but and we saw attempts at reform that simply weren't workable. And if they had been in a classroom, they would understand that what they were trying to put forth wasn't workable. And so, you know, that ended up a bone of contention. And I guess one of the biggest jobs here is stopping bad legislation as well as pushing forward good legislation.
You had some nods of affirmation from Joya and Vicki here as you were saying that one, Mike. I guess I am curious. I mean, you are a Republican in Missouri, part of a majority that passed some budgets that included some pretty difficult discussions around education funding. Did you ever find yourself at odds with your own party leadership?
Oh, many times. But in actuality, we expanded education funding every year. Every year there was more money than the last year. And I was in the middle of that because I was appropriations chair for 4 years. And education appropriations. I had the Education Appropriations Committee for 4 years. And, you know, there was never a time when K-12 education didn't get a bump. Now, they didn't get as much as they wanted. But I don't know.
Yeah, some school districts would have said that they were some school districts were not experiencing enough per an increase in per pupil spending during that time.
Well, yes, and the other thing is the truism is if you have a room full of superintendents, The way to shut them up is to say, okay, if we fully fund education, you're never going to ask for another nickel, right?
And that doesn't get much response, huh? We are guessing a lot of teachers are not listening right now because they're, you know, teaching. But if you've been one and thought about politics, or maybe if you've been in education and in politics, give us a call and tell us why that makes sense or why it didn't for you. 816-235-2888 is the number to call. 235-2888. Let me ask you one more question, Mike. You are on the Missouri side. You've been listening to our conversation with these candidates for the Kansas legislature. How different do you feel the environment is for education in Missouri? And I'll ask them their thoughts as well. But how different do you think it is on the Missouri side?
Well, I really don't know a lot about Kansas education system. But, you know, from our standpoint, one of our major problems is we have 520 school districts. And they go all the way from, you know, 3,500 students in the large districts down to 18 in a smaller district. And to be able to put together legislation that can deal with all of them fairly is extremely tough. And it's one of those things that, you know, you have to educate all the time because the kid from, well, excuse me, the legislator from St. Louis or Kansas City doesn't understand the small rural district. And in like manner, the small rural district doesn't understand a huge school like we see in some of the urban areas. So, you know, it's really a tough thing.
Yeah.
I know that we are very strong in education, and I'm sure Kansas is too, that we share many of the same values with Kansas, and education would be one of those things.
Let me ask Vicki and Joy about that. Do you feel like Kansas is facing unique challenges, or are they the kinds of things that would be shared in Missouri or, for that matter, anywhere else? Vicki?
I think that, yeah, the difference between the rural areas and the suburban urban areas are dramatic, and we do have to listen to all. And I think that that's one of the reasons I'm very pleased that it was built into our Kansas Constitution to provide for an equitable arrangement for funding and for schools, because it wouldn't be fair to have all of the services provided in one part of the state and not in the others. Mm-hmm. So, but it does provide a lot of challenges. How do you make that? How do you find that equity?
Sure.
Right.
We've had a caller here being very patient, waiting for us on hold. Let me take that call from Frank in Lawrence. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I've been a teacher. I have taught English as a second language, but not in Kansas or Missouri. But what I want to ask all of your guests, if they want to respond or individually, to the fact that many people here in Kansas, I have heard in campaign forums, people are saying that the educators, teachers, and school districts should try to be more efficient with the less money they have and not be claiming desire for more money. I'll take my answer off the air. Let me hear what people have to say.
I appreciate that, Frank. Thanks so much. Joy, is the problem not that the schools aren't getting enough money, that they just need to spend it more efficiently?
Boy, that's such a loaded word. As someone who has talked to many of the principals in my district over the last 8 months, I can tell you that efficiency is a complicated thing at an elementary school where there are 22 languages spoken. How do you become efficient when you're trying to manage so many different personalities, so many different languages, so many different social expectations? I think that, yes, efficiency is a really important issue for any organization that's trying to work within a budget and meet their budgetary needs. But I think that we need to be concerned about how we're funding education in specific, and speak to a little bit about what Mike just said. The notion that we're spending more on education than ever before is a good notion, except that my question would be, are we keeping up with inflation? And that's not the case in Kansas. We have continued to fund schools, definitely, but we haven't kept up with inflation. And so we're really funding our schools at levels of about probably back to 2009. So we really need to look at those kinds of issues. Are we keeping up with inflation? Are we really doing the things that we need to do, not only for the complexities of the classroom, but also the technology that's now required of students to understand. It changes every year. We can't say to a school, you're only going to get this much money, and don't ever ask for money again, because next year, new software, new technology, a different group of immigrants who come in and say, we want to be part of your community, part of your country. How are we going to integrate them into our society and help them learn right alongside all of the other students? So the complexity of the classroom really has to dictate some about how we then fund those classrooms. And I just think that that's an important element that we continue to ignore.
That's Joy Kosten. She's a candidate and has already won the primary, doesn't have an opponent in November, so likely to be in the state legislature in Topeka in January. We're also here with Vicki Hyatt and Mike Lair, who is a state representative in Missouri, in Chillicothe. Mike, I mean, let me ask you that question from our caller about not just how much money, but how that money is spent. A lot of times, even with a budget increase, it has come with instructions or with strings or the way that the funding formula is constructed in a way that local school districts have not been pleased with the result.
Well, you get into a situation where the individual districts are so different. I have 17 districts, school districts within my house district. And there's differences there. I mean, majority of them are small, but there are differences. But there's a couple of things that you really have to remember. Number one is you cannot operate schools on a business model.
Yes.
That's the raw material that comes in.
Yeah. And that strikes me as the kind of thing, Mike, that an educator who is serving as a legislator might say that might not be true of some of your colleagues in the General Assembly. Am I right?
Well, if you see it long enough and loud enough, they have to at least listen.
Well, you know, let me ask you that you all that question. I mean, why do you think there aren't more educators in government? It sounds like you all agree that you bring certain things, you have a certain way of looking at this that makes a lot of sense for a state government that is for whom education is such a big part of their agenda. Why are there not more educators in the House and in the Senate?
You know, when I was teaching, I knew that the legislature had a great effect on what was going on in the schools and the classroom. But when you're teaching, that's your world, mm-hmm. and it's very hard to step out of that. Now, I have had the opportunity to actually work with a former legislator, former Representative Sue Storm, and she taught in the setting that I taught in for a semester and then went back to the legislature. So I think that is a great thing when someone can do the dual job, but it's difficult. It's right. difficult.
You know, I'm curious from you, Joy, you as a citizen legislator would have the opportunity to still do some teaching. Is that right?
Well, certainly as somebody who's a part-time these days, I do get to decide when I take a contract and how many I take. So that gives me a lot more flexibility than most teachers.
Well, and with that flexibility, I mean, we've talked about the benefits that education experience might bring to the legislature. Are there benefits for schools and colleges from having some teachers and instructors who have some experience with making the law?
Absolutely. And I think that there's an opportunity, if we think about it, for any organization, and again, not just for an educational institution, for any organization to encourage the employees of that institution to think about being engaged civically. And that means giving them some time to go do what they need to do to be engaged. I'm going to take a full semester off for my teaching so that I can be in the legislature, but that means I'm giving up income. And I also then have to think about, a commute, and I know what I'm going to make as a legislator isn't going to make up the income that I'm going to lose. Not many people are in the position that I'm in, where they can give up income and go do this for 4 to 6 months out of the year. They're really tied to a job because they have to raise a family, they have
right.
to pay the bills. So
right.
it's a very privileged position to sit in.
Vicki, mm-hmm. how will you think of yourself if you're elected to the legislature? Will you think of yourself primarily as a lawmaker or primarily as a teacher?
I probably would still think of myself as an educator because I really think that as a legislator, my primary purpose would be to help educate my constituents about what's going on in the state, in the state house, mm-hmm. and help them be, you know, aware of the issues and what the, some of the solutions are that we'll, we're looking at.
Do you feel like you'll be especially responsible to your fellow or former fellow teachers?
I don't think over other constituents.
You don't feel like you'll be especially their representative as an educator in the legislature?
I don't see any special preference, no.
Okay.
But I certainly would know the needs that they would have.
Yeah. Mike Lehr, unlike my other two guests here today, you are headed for retirement. That much we know. You will not be in Jefferson City next fall or next spring. What will you be doing?
I will be with my grandchildren and my wife. The family is extremely important, and I would caution these ladies. There's a lot of folks in all legislators who lose those families because they get so wrapped up in what happens in their state capitals. We had 12 divorces between the middle of May when we got out of session and veto session in September.
All right. Well, I'm sorry on that downer note, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you so much. That's Missouri State Representative Mike Lehr, Republican from Chillicothe. Also, Vicki Hyatt, Democratic candidate, and Joy Kostin, a Republican candidate from Johnson County. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we'll hear the latest from the Ghost Notes podcast, some music and conversation with the singer-songwriter and electric harpist Calvin Arsenia. I'm Brian Ellison, KCUR Central Standard. We'll be back in a minute.